Saturday morning on Power Talk Radio 1460 and 101 FM. Dan Lesnick is joining us, and we're going to talk about how your birth year shapes your investment experience. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Mark.
So we got into this on Thursday, but it's really interesting, particularly dealing with boomers. And you know, there's a couple categories of boomers, and I didn't realize that they were officially segregated this way. But I don't know if you knew this either, but apparently if you were born between 1946 or 45 and 1954, you are in the what is called the traditional baby boomer generation, boomer one.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then if you were born, say, 1956, 55, 56, up to 1965 or so, that's boomer two.
Yep.
And it's very different from boomer one, because I was reading an article about this online, and it talks about the fact that the first generation of boomers, you know, they define themselves by civil rights, Woodstock, protesting the Vietnam War, those kinds of things.
Yep.
Whereas if you're in the second generation or the second group of boomers, your experiences were more so, you were somewhat aware of Watergate, but you would have been like, if you're born in 55, then you would have been like 18 years old, so you would have been aware of it. But if you're on the younger end, you might have only been 6, 7, 8 years old, so you were more so formed by the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's so interesting. You're absolutely right about that. So my sister, I am a traditional boomer, okay, born in 1948. My sister was born in 1942. My sister views everything differently than I do because of my early adult experiences. In other words, the thrust of the Vietnam War, my sister didn't experience that. First of all, the people that she went to high school and college with oftentimes didn't serve in the military. There wasn't, it was purely if you wanted to. The draft was not active.
Right. And you know something, Dan? One of the other interesting things about that is that there was a three-year period. If you were born in 58, 59, or 60, you did not have to register for Selective Service. Now, when they first got rid of the draft, there was nothing. They didn't know what to do, so it was just, draft is gone, don't worry about the draft. And then it was a few years later, and I think it was starting with those who would turn 18 in 1960 or 1981 or 1980 or something like that. But I remember these stories in the news that at that point, if you were turning 18, you had to register for Selective Service. But if you're in that three-year group, you never even had to register. You're not even on their radar.
Right, right.
Very different kind of thing.
Yep. Well, it surely is. But swinging this back around to money.
Yes.
which is what we primarily talk about.
Indeed.
These different outlooks on life have affected how people view savings and how they view the government's role, shall we say, in their life, and also regulatory rule. I don't know if that's the right word, but the availability of 401k and IRA vehicles for savings. And in some cases, we find that people in a later period of life, a later generation, I mean, the millennials and early Gen Xers, or late Gen Xers, I should say, those people sometimes are saying, well, I don't have any way to save, okay, because we don't have a 401k at my job, or I don't, I haven't established an IRA. So it's very interesting where the emphasis is, but that's shifting a bit because I think that we're seeing now the upcoming generation, the people who are in their late 20s and early 30s are making quite a shift in the information we have available to us into being more independent because they don't expect to stay with an employer.
Right.
For, they're not looking for a career. They're looking for a career as a widget salesperson, not as a widget salesperson for Widget International.
Okay? Correct.
They're very happy to take their career elsewhere. So that's changing things a little bit. But one of the things that is mentioned in the beginning of this article, and I really want to emphasize this, and that is about the sequence of returns. This is something that we talk about with our clients all the time. What was mentioned here is if you hold money for a period of time, let's just say 10 years, and you're not drawing on that money, whether the market is negative at the beginning of your savings or positive at the end of your savings, if you and I, Mark, both start a plan at the same time, when we're both investing $100 a month and we're doing that for 10 years, at the end of the line, our experience is going to be exactly the same.
Okay.
And that leads people to sometimes believe save, as long as I hold on to my investments long term, it doesn't matter what the condition of the market is. The fallacy for that comes with, what if you retire during that period of time? So let's say, in this hypothetical that I just set up, let's say you don't need to withdraw from your account, but I do because I've retired. So we have that same scenario. I'm withdrawing during a bear market and you are not withdrawing during that period of time. It makes a whole lot of difference when we get to the end of the line as to what the balance is in our accounts. And also, if I start drawing in a bear market, I'm going to have a lesser amount of money at the end of the 10-year cycle. If you start withdrawing in a bull market, you're going to have a different outcome. Right. So on our pure savings, we were going to end up exactly the same. But the sequence of the returns in the market cycles, will have a whole lot to do with our long-term success. And this is why we emphasize to people, we need to have that soon bucket, the money that you're going to need sooner rather than later. We need to have that secured in a way that you can't lose any of that money due to market cycles, because we don't know when market cycles are going to hit. You know, we just had a big volatility thing in the market. Maybe we're through that. We did hit correction territory here in the last week of October. Maybe we're through that. My crystal ball has been broken for years, so I don't make predictions. But if we're through it, that's great. If we're not through it and someone is retiring on January 1st, then they may have something to be worried about drawing on their accounts during a period of high volatility or perhaps a bear market.
And then, so what do people do if that's the case?
Well, hopefully they have money set aside to take them through that period of time, and they don't need to draw on their invested assets, their money that's in the market.
So
A colleague of mine has a saying that I just love, and that is, buy a time frame and invest the difference.
Okay.
In other words, in that soon bucket, be sure that whatever you've put in that soon bucket can't go backwards, and hopefully has the potential to grow some. And then, remember, we talked about long term, it'll be okay.
Yes.
But let's leave long term as long term and not say, I have to draw on that money to meet my monthly nut. So that's where a financial strategy that's very defined in dollars and cents and takes into consideration the cost of living, inflation, and all of those issues, that's where it's absolutely imperative to have that strategy in place.
And that's why it is so important that you use a financial advisor, someone like Nan Lesnick, to help you get through these tough waters, you know, because there's lots of sharks out there. There's lots of different ways for you to lose time and lose potential growth. And that's what we're really talking about, you know, is making sure that you maximize the growth of your investment portfolio so that you'll have a more secure retirement.
Right. Because, you know, the year that we retire is the beginning of a period of time that is an unknown quantity.
This is true.
I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I have to have the expectation that I could live for a very long time. I'm a healthy female from a family where many people lived in their 90s and some into their 100s.
Right.
In my mother's generation, I need to plan for that possibility. So if I use up my money in the early years because I had to draw on my investments and didn't have any secure soon bucket to weather a storm, I could run out of money. People say exactly these words to me: I don't want to run out of money before I run out of life.
Boy, that has to be number one, I think, for so many people.
Exactly.
Right.
True.
Nan Lesnick's been our guest this morning. Reach her at her office in Monterey, 831-656-0236. Online, it is lesnickcompany.com. Her email is nan@lesnickcompany.com. Nan, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll chat again on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.